You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Again, the second hour here in communication with my producer here in Round Rock, Sam, is telling me that evidently I must have irritated, angered the Me Toos because they are trying to jam the phone lines here so nobody can call in and talk about these issues. Shame on you, Me Toos. You're a pitiful bunch. You know that? You're just pitiful. Yes. I can't wait to see my emails. The haters out there. The people who hate America, that's what you are. The Me Toos, you're haters. Equality, my ass. All right, get back to talking about this here. Keep trying to get in, people, if you can. I don't know. There's no call. We'll figure it out. Just try if you can get in. Like I said, the Me Toos are going to play their games for another 55 minutes probably. Maybe they'll get tired and their fingers are getting numb and they'll stop. Call the number at 1-800-313-9443. And I was getting back to the Kavanaugh thing here. I would not want Brett Kavanaugh to be my attorney. I really wouldn't. I was not impressed with the man. Like I said, maybe we're all taken in by this whole sex scandal thing, knowing very well that it wouldn't go anywhere because there was no evidence, and 36 years later, that maybe we're all duped into focusing on that and not focusing on his past history. Maybe we're all taken in like this. But I wasn't impressed with his behavior. You know, I could understand lashing out and getting angry, but that's usually that's my resort to somebody not looking at the truth and the evidence. And I point the evidence out first, and if they don't, you know, take in the evidence and they're still attacking, that's when I may push back a little bit and start raising my voice. But what I would have done if I was Brett Kavanaugh was be more judge-like. Now, I'm sure in the courtroom, he would have pointed out to the counselors, both sides, to say, especially the prosecutor, just saying, you're going to submit your evidence here, right? Where's your evidence? And when they don't have any evidence, well, then this is pretty much a null case. This is over. Dismissed. You're done. It's over. And I didn't see that. And I would have gone that route if I was Judge Kavanaugh. I would have said, I would have acted as if this was my courtroom and we need to see some evidence. We can't. No court case surrounds a hearsay. He said, she said thing. It's got to have clear evidence. We're talking about the rule of law here. And it applies to both sides. Due process. He didn't do that. He should have done that. He should have quickly jumped on that as a judge, in a judge thinking cap, saying, you need to show evidence, compelling evidence, concrete evidence, and not having recollection or remembering this and that and this and that. The whole thing was a charade. And it was kind of embarrassing to watch this. Like I said, the FBI had done their job from the very beginning. Why did they allow this to come to the attention of the media and allow these hate groups to basically rise up? no case. It should have never gone this far. She should have never spoken before the Senate hearing committee. Should have never happened. Number two should have never happened. Number three should have never happened. She should have never had her day in front of a camera. Do you know what we're looking at here now is libel, really, slander, libel. And why did not Judge Kavanaugh file libelous, slanderous lawsuits against these three people who brought false claims? I don't know. There's something very fishy about somebody who is in the profession of law not using the law to back themselves up. Isn't that kind of odd to you? An attorney, all these lawyers are attorneys, they would have known to say, wait a minute here, you're talking about slander here. You've got no evidence. You've got nothing. Why didn't they go in that direction? Why wasn't he advised to say, you know, we're going to file lawsuits now against Blasey Ford. We're going to file lawsuits against this other woman, this third woman, too. How come there was no lawsuit filed against the USA Today with the insinuation article that Judge Kavanaugh was a pedophile and that we should look closely at him and that maybe he shouldn't be coaching his daughter's soccer team? You see, you had the capacity to act as a judge. You have the tools, but you failed to use the tools to stop this nonsense. I'm still scratching my head on this. I'm not sure of why he didn't go down that road. That's exactly what I would have done. And being a judge, he should know the law better than anybody. Definitely if he's breaking it, he knows that. With the Patriot Act and everything else, the Fourth Amendments, the spying programs, mass surveillance, torture memos. He knows how to break them. Do you know how to stand up for them? Good question. We're going to go back to the phones here. Actually, you got somebody called in. He's not a troll. Roxanne in Texas, you're on.
Hi. I have always a different take on things than what we see versus what's really taking place. We know Kavanaugh and his wife, they're in the plum book, they're SES, that's Senior Executive Services, each state. He did what he had to do all his life to get to this place, to get this food chain position. So during this process, he finally, for the Supreme Court, he finally woke up and understood they'll kill and eat their own. He did mention Hildebeest. For me, that was a bingo moment for millions that were watching or listening. And then, of course, in that, oh, that's conspiracy. No, because not this network, everybody knows what's going on, or tries to at least, versus the millions that are just, you know, I don't know, picking their noses or whatever they're doing out there. But it takes time for people to say, well, this is not a credible witness. And this Mark Judge would be the good one to sue with all of it, but, you know, dragging his name or those other people's names. But so I think he will have been talked to by Trump in the military. Kavanaugh will do whatever it takes. And we need Gitmo open still to get rounding up these 36 that top names of the FBI, DOJ, Hildebeest, Obama, all of them.
Right.
We need that open for a little longer, and then they could tear everything apart of that Patriot Act. I don't think, and plus this Listerine Ford's great comic material for Trump when he goes out speaking. So That's my take on it. And well, y'all have a great day.
Yeah, Roxanne, stay on there. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
What do you think, and I don't believe in it because I haven't seen any proof that it really is existing. I do believe QAnon is not real. I believe it's a psychological operation because I haven't seen any evidence. I haven't seen one victim to one person they say we're going to get and we're going to put behind bars here or get the ball rolling on a court case, a lawsuit against them for crimes against the state, crimes or whatever. I haven't seen one yet. I keep hearing about, well, the number is 39,000 sealed indictments. Now it's 43,000. Now it's 57,000 indictments. I haven't seen anything at all, and I keep hearing that the foot's going to drop. The hammer's coming down. They're going to start prosecuting, and I haven't seen a thing yet, which has me believing that this really is not real. There's a guy named Bernard Groover, he was talking about this. And he's laid out a very good theory that this is nothing more than a psychological operation. Like I said, I'm waiting I am waiting for something to happen, the rule of law to proceed and to come forward and see people that have done wrong prosecuted. And we keep saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, nothing's coming. And I'm just, I put no credibility, no cloud in this QAnon. Some people do, I don't, because I've got nothing that's come my way to say, okay, here's one example of it. Here's a second example of it. Nothing, not a thing. To me, it is exactly that. It's a psychological operation. Your take?
What? Well, yes and no, because you know how Washington, D.C., they're swamped, they're slow and stop speeds, they don't get anything done. I do believe things will happen, but you, how am I going to say, okay, here's Hildebeest to judges Obama put in? You got to get everybody out. And they're trying to delay it as best they can, especially with this guy, who will do what he's told.
Right.
So you can't just arrest a bunch of people and put them in front of judges, dismiss, dismiss, dismiss. You got to get the right people.
Right.
And that's
right.
What I'm looking at, and why, you know, everybody wants it done yesterday. I do too, because when you get to the fast food, everything's ready for you pretty quick.
Right.
And D.C. doesn't work that way, and it never will, unless we, you know, expose it for what it really, really is. And that's not easy, because it hurts people's guts to believe I've been lied to for centuries. Whoa. So I take it that way. I can only stop, just do what I'm doing. And I can't control any of this. Can you?
No, I can't. Best I can do, Roxanne, is educate people what I know.
Right.
Like I said, I talked to this old gentleman today. And I told him about the past of Brett Kavanaugh and the infractions on the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, and surveillance and everything. I talked to him and I told him about that. And maybe it sunk in. I'll find out next week if he actually did some research on his own. But he surprised me by saying it was okay. It was okay by him. The torture part was okay. Because he must have felt that it was successful in getting information to stop future terrorist attacks. And we know it hasn't. So I was a little bothered by that.
Well, I think he's grown up a little bit since that point, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, like you say, you can educate one people or you got an audience.
Yeah.
My husband has woken up in the last 3 years at 5 of these guys, and they were all CNN, you know, glued to the CNN in
right.
the store there. But I'll let you get to your day. I'm going to just sit back and see. I don't know much about Q. My husband thinks Q's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an opinion on that. But
okay.
There are a few things that he's pointed out over the last, 18 months that mm-hmm. have been right on target. So, and I think President Trump himself likes the Q. Whether he's in on it or not,
right?
What it's doing is rallying people to, you know, get out and, I guess, vote, whatever that is. But anyway, you have a wonderful day. Thanks for all you do.
I appreciate it, Roxanne. Well, the Me Too say we're going to pay for it in November with the election, so we'll see. That's another thing. I just can't understand why the election process hasn't been overhauled. You know, there's been cheating going on and election fraud, voter fraud, election fraud, and the software. And the system remains in place. I don't understand why Trump kind of backed off on that one. That's bothersome to me to admit that it could happen to flip election again. And he may not get so lucky this time. You know, the Republicans may lose in November. I don't know. It's quite possible. It's quite possible. You would think you'd want a fair election, or maybe you don't want a fair election. Maybe it doesn't benefit you. Maybe sometimes it does benefit you, and so you like the process to keep it in place. I don't know. I like to believe that my vote actually counts, and I make a difference. I hope so. Try to. So that article I spoke about, President Harding facing sex scandals during the 1920s, I'm going to mention a little bit. So this is all not new territory, the weaponizing of sex against somebody, whether it's true or it's fake. And this article here by Ronald G. Schaefer is rather interesting. If you read through, it's really similar to Donald Trump's situation with Stormy Daniels. And I started thinking about the whole Stormy Daniels thing. She was on Jimmy Kimmel Live a couple days ago, and I can't stand him at all. He's a major Israel firster. And Saturday Night Live was pretty nasty last week also, going after Kavanaugh. Very tasteless. These are tasteless people, tasteless character, no moral compass as far as I'm concerned. So they both took swats at him. But interesting, because Kimmel had, and I watched a 10-minute clip, only I couldn't watch the show. I just saw the clip pop up on my computer, and I watched how bad it really was and distasteful. I mean, it really was distasteful at an all-time low. But interesting that the crowd, this is the Me Too crowd and his crowd, those who don't have much of a brain really to think things through, and they can be easily led like sheep over a cliff. But they bought into it, and they thought it was hysterical and laughing. It was so funny. And going into description, Stormy Daniels would go into description of what the president's member looked like, and they brought out mushrooms, and it was an all-time low for TV. But this article I have here, President Harding faced sexual scandals back in the 20s, is very similar. Let me read a little bit here. The Republican presidential candidate's affair could be exposed before the election, so other women's silence was bought. Another woman wrote a tell-all book about her love life with the same married man long before Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. There was President Warren Harding, whose sexual dalliances made history. In the 1920s, the Republicans nominated Harding, a senator from Ohio, to run against Democratic Governor James Cox, also of Ohio, and his running mate, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Only then did GOP leaders learn their standard bearer had some kinky skeletons in his closet. One was a long-running affair with Carrie Fulton Phillips, the wife of the head of a department store in Marion, Ohio, where Harding was a newspaper publisher. The affair had cooked up and now is now threatening to release some Stormy love letters unless she was paid. In one letter, Harding wrote his lover that he longed to see her so much, I feel that there will never be any relief until I take a long, deep, wild draught on your lips and then bury my face in your pillowing breasts. Wow, it's an amazing letter there. Basically going on here, he had to pay her off. I'm not going to read the entire article. The illicit affair could sink a presidential candidate, so the Republican Party paid Phillips and her husband, $20,000 and sent them on an all-expense-paid trip voyage overseas until the election was over. Today, that $20,000 would be worth about $250,000. That is nearly double the $130,000 Trump paid Daniels before the 2016 presidential election to keep her quiet about their alleged affair. Now, that's where I want to come in really quick here, because I started doing a little thinking here. It's common knowledge that Donald Trump is a germaphobe. I don't think he's recovered germaphobe. Does anybody really recover from being a germaphobe? I don't think so. Which is interesting, because when I watched the 10-minute clip with Stormy Daniels on Jimmy Fallon Live, not Jimmy Fallon, but Jimmy Kimmel, she mentioned having sex with the president several times. She made excuses for why she did what she did. Interesting that she goes to his hotel room, supposedly, for a meeting, thinking that she's going to have dinner there or little hors d'oeuvres. And she said basically he wanted dessert. But that the president, being the germaphobe that he is, that we know he is, of course, she didn't mention that, did not use a condom. Well, it's really interesting that Donald Trump knows this woman, knows her past, knows her career line, that she's a pornographic actress, been in bed probably, who knows, thousands of men doing scenes, sex scenes with all these strange men. A germaphobe would have used a condom. And she said he didn't. So something's not right here. We'll be right back. This is Off the Beaten Path. Yeah.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back, just checking in on my email here, and I'm reminded by a listener here. I'm not going to give last name, but Daniel, you're right. Brett Kavanaugh is part, at least has knowledge of the 9/11 inside job. You are on spot. You're big time right. Yes, I agree, because the second part of that was the Patriot Act. So, yeah, he was part of it. I agree 100%. Good call on that one. Just want to give you credit for it. Yes, Brett Kavanaugh could be part of this deep state. He was certainly in line with George W. Bush, this whole, we got to get to the Middle East and the new Pearl Harbor. Very much so. Good call on that one, Daniel. Other than that, I just wanted to mention, you know, a couple of days ago, I took a nice drive to the coast. Sometimes you need to get away. Water has a nice positive effect on me. And I sit there on the beach, and if I'm fishing, I'm not fishing this time, but it has a nice calming effect. You stare at the ocean and the birds, the wildlife, and the wind. It's just a nice little way to chill out and kind of come back and recharge your batteries. And the drive out there is a little ways, but you know, you see nice scenery, you see things, you see, you know, people building here and there, and you see nice things along the way and things you hadn't seen before. And the conversation starts to, you know, talk about the surroundings. And then next thing, you don't really have much you just kind of stop talking. You're just staring and enjoying everything until you get to the beach. But something kind of came back to me this week, and I've heard it several times before, and I've researched it a little bit, and I've heard it on several talk shows, whether it's on RBN or some other talk show, talking about 22 a day. And I think you know what I'm talking about. 22 veterans that are committing suicide per day. So I did a little research and went back, and I found that some statistics came from the VA, evidently on a government study from 1999 to the year 2010, 11 years, that approximately 22 vets per day would commit suicide. That's a lot of people. So I'm starting to do the math here. So 22 vets a day, 365 days a year, times 11 years. You get enough people to fill a stadium, a good size soccer stadium, football stadium. 88,330 vets died in those 11 years, if these numbers are actually true. 88,330 vets committed suicide. Well, we've been in Iraq and Afghanistan for a lot longer than that. Been there 17 years, right? So do the math again. So I would assume that actually the numbers would have been higher than 22 a day for the first year or two. I mean, we're talking about really a change of life here for a soldier or a reservist to go in. You know, the way they used to get out of going to war was to join the National Guard. And now it's the easiest way to get into a war and get into combat is to join the National Guard. So I think the numbers would be higher in the first 2 years or so. Just a theory of mine. Saw a lot of soldiers coming back and the PTSD and not the same people anymore and loss of family, maybe the divorces and split up families. So you do the numbers here. Let's do the 17-year number. Let's just look at 22 a day times 365 times 17 years. You get 136,510 soldiers that committed suicide. Wow. That is amazing. And the reason I bring that up is because I had kind of a negative thought about anything dealing with the VA. Now, we got a little problem here. Still got a problem here. I talked about this with John Stabmiller a couple of days ago. I was in the military, so I get some VA benefits and never have used them. Never have used them. Decided to pursue it for a number of reasons. I want to be able to talk about it. I want to talk about the system itself. Is it broken? Is it getting better? We've seen in the past that a lot of soldiers never quite got in time. And if they had diseases or something, they weren't treated or they died. So they never quite got in to be seen. The list was so long. The whole system seemed to be just jammed. It wasn't working. It's not a finely tuned machine. Well, I signed up a couple weeks ago, and I'd never had done this before. I get benefits. And I signed up, and not expecting a whole lot, I did some clinicals at a hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana, the VA Medical Center there, part of my schooling for school of nursing. And as you know, I am an ICU nurse. So I did some rotations there, and back in the 90s, like 91, I was not impressed. I saw low morale then. I saw people just doing a job for a paycheck, not committed to helping as others would do in other hospitals. It's really kind of a strange experience. And I'll get back into that when we come back out of this break. 3-minute break. You are listening to Off the Beaten Path.
Light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You drink the night away and forget about everything.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we are back. Jeff Lorber playing Dear Prudence. Great track. You know, I made some chicken scratch here, and I need to actually work on my handwriting here. It's going to look like doctor's handwriting here. I made some chicken scratch, and I kind of passed over something. Making my point on Stormy Daniels on Donald Trump and the whole her interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live the other day, in that he is a confirmed, admitted germaphobe, which doesn't quite fit a guy who uses hand sanitizer all the time after he shakes somebody's hand, would be the kind of person that might have sex with a woman who's been with 1,000 or more guys and not use some kind of protection. So I am now starting to think that he might have been set up all along, and none of this ever happened. And he simply paid the money, the blackmail money, to silence somebody who might have hurt his presidential chances. So I'm starting to think that it doesn't quite fit with the germaphobe who doesn't use protection with somebody he should. Maybe two or three times of kinds of protection with somebody like this. But it doesn't quite fit. So just think about that for a little bit. I'm thinking that this was a blackmail job from the beginning. that he met with her, and it just kind of fit all perfect. You know, she's in the register. She came to the his hotel, whatever, met him. So it's in the register. She did meet him, so she could say whatever she wanted to say and make him look bad. I actually now believe this was nothing more than a blackmail. He wouldn't stoop so low as to diddle with a prostitute, basically. You might say she's a prostitute. So we'll leave it at that. But going back to my VA experience in school, was not the greatest experience. And so I was hesitant to, in the year 2018, sign up and think about VA. But there's been a new appointment. Somebody now new in charge of the VA. Last one fired, and then another one came in because the other guy didn't do his job. I can't recall his name. I don't have it on my board here. I did, and I don't now. But the bottom line is it changing? Is it getting better? Are vets getting seen much faster? Now, I've talked to my good buddy out there in California, Mr. Ron McDonald, and he swears up and down the VA is doing a super job with him. Not to go into too much diagnosis with my good friend, but he was in Vietnam, so you know what he was exposed to. So he's doing fine, and hopefully he'll be back to the airwaves, I hope, shortly, very soon. I miss him, and he'll be joining us hopefully again on John's show, the National Intel Report. But the VA, I had a negative experience, I guess, back in the early 90s, that I did my clinical rotation through there, and I was all hyped up of making my mark on the world and following the rules and the book, you know, by the book. You got to do it by the book. And I get into the VA system there for my, God, how many weeks was that clinical? It was a long time. And I saw cutting corners. I saw this being cutting corners, cheating on this. Let's just go ahead and do this and this. And I got this, I got an offer, actually a job offer before my clinical actually ended. They said, you want to come work for us? And I told them I hadn't decided yet. I was being PC, political correct, I guess. Didn't want to burn any bridges, didn't want to ruffle any feathers, but I had no intention at that time or ever to join the VA administration working in a hospital. I'd left there with just not a very good opinion of it. So understand that there's been some changes made, and there's a lot of, well, the mainstream media picked up some of that. I guess one thing, good thing the mainstream may have picked up was they spoke about how veterans aren't being seen quick enough, and they need to be. We can't wait any longer. They must be seen in a reasonable amount of time. They should be seen. So I entered the system, and they said, you're going to get a phone call a week from now, which would have been Thursday. And I got a call on a Wednesday. And I thought for sure, yeah, right, you're going to call me in a week. So I got a call in a week, set me up for an appointment, kind of a physical type thing, check me out. And then I got a phone call just the other day from the National, where it was actually in Texas somewhere. It was actually in Waco, Texas. And I spoke to him for a little while, and he said, thank you for your service. Well, I wasn't in war. I'm no hero. You know, I did my duty. I did my 4 years. I worked in aircraft mechanics stationed in Oklahoma. I never got to go anywhere. I wanted to go somewhere and see the world. Didn't go anywhere. Stuck in Oklahoma. And I did 4 years and got out, went back to college. But I got a call from the main headquarters saying, have you been reached? Have you been talked to? Did they set you up for your first appointment? I said, yeah, I really have. And a little bit sooner than I thought. I was really impressed. I looked at my wife. I said, can you believe this? They actually called, and they called up if I'm happy. Do I have any questions for them? They're going to send out a handbook. And I thought, wow, have they really got their act together now? And evidently, they have got their act together. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed now. And I just, I don't want to see these numbers go up. But here's your problem. Here's our problem. So we put our soldiers in harm's way. We put them out there in the desert. They're fighting trauma. They see the worst of anything, everything out there. They see death. They live in a constant state of fear. Are they going to step on an IED? You know, they're going to get killed. They're going to get killed today and not see their families and their children ever again. Can you imagine having that go through your mind each and every day you wake up, you see the sunshine and you start a new day going, is today my day? Is today the day I meet my maker? Or am I going to live another day? Am I going to get lucky enough to go home someday? And are these wars ever going to stop? Are they ever going to end? And then I'll get to be with my family again. Well, that's the first part. The second part is, when I come back, will I be the same man that I was when I went to war? And most likely you won't be. It's pretty unlikely you'll return going back to being the same person you were, because you've seen so much bad, so much death, so much destruction. So the question is, you go into the VA system, and they're on top of it right now. They seem to be doing a fine job. So they get you in. They said, you have PTSD. You have a lot of depression. So what are we going to do for you? So, well, we got some medications for you. Medications will make you all feel better. Here's your medication. Take your medication. Don't skip it. But what if the medication actually doesn't work because the adverse reaction from the medication actually is suicidal ideation? You still have the wanting, the needness to commit suicide. So basically, you haven't done a thing. You've returned, you're suicidal, you take medication, which is supposed to make you feel better about yourself, that you don't want to commit suicide, and you're still suicidal. So we're still going to lose 22 veterans a day. So what's the solution? Pharmaceuticals aren't going to come out and say, hey, by the way, our medications have this adverse reaction. They could not help at all your situation and maybe actually make your depression a little worse. You know, maybe push you over the edge. Maybe you're suicidal, but now you take the medication and maybe it's going to push you over the edge. They're not going to say that. That opens up a door for them for litigation, lawsuits against them. And they are not going to make that same mistake that the tobacco companies made. Never. Remember that, the seven dwarfs for Congress? Tobacco was not addictive. Yeah, right. We're going to go back to the phones. Bruce in Texas, you're on.
Hi, thanks, Steve. I've been listening to you here, and in particular about Kavanaugh and his stint with the G.W. Bush administration.
Right.
And you made comment that he has to know the truth about 9/11. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. He should be knowing the truth of 9/11. And isn't it a criminal offense to know of a crime and not report it?
It sure is.
Yes. And the same thing goes for Mr. Giuliani, mm-hmm. who's in the Trump administration.
Yeah, Bruce, you're right on the money there. You're a conspirator. You're a co-conspirator to a crime. Yeah, you have right. knowledge of it. You don't tell anybody. But you know, it's interesting that about a month or two ago, it was on C-SPAN. They had National Whistleblower Day. Now, I've never heard of National Whistleblower Day, but evidently they selectively decide of what is good whistleblowing and what's bad whistleblowing, and there is a determination. And evidently, this would be bad whistleblowing if you told the truth about what you knew on the inside job of 9/11. This would be bad whistleblowing.
Bad whistleblowing, huh?
Evidently.
But my thoughts are, along with what I've just stated, that mm-hmm. Trump is surrounded by people that are knowledgeable about 9/11. Mm-hmm. And if he actually comes out and starts going after any one of them that's currently working with him, mm-hmm. That's going to make it very difficult for anybody to help him. And I think he'd be fighting a real uphill battle trying to get that straightened out. So he may be waiting for the proper time to address these other, and he may be willing to give them pardons if they speak up and start coming forward.
Well, Bruce, here's my take on the 9/11, inside job on 9/11. And David Ray Griffin talked about it. Here's my theory on it. It is an inside job. The PNAC document itself, the Project for a New American Century document, already spells it out, what they planned on doing, and they allowed it to happen. They needed a new world. They needed a new Pearl Harbor, and they got one. So the document is specified. It tells you in detail what they're going to do, what they need to have happen in order to get to the Middle East. This had to happen. George W. Bush was the president at the time, and it had to be on his clock. So, you know, we talked about body language, and they talked about body language of people standing behind Christine Blasey Ford, and that it tells you a lot more sometimes than just somebody actually saying it. The body action will tell you if somebody's guilty or if they're upset or if it's not going the way they want to. We can see that. The body language George W. Bush showed me by, first of all, oh, it's happening. Basically, his mind was clicking, saying, oh, it's happening already. It started. He knew. He had prior knowledge. They didn't whisk him out of the building. They didn't take him out of the school building and take him out of the and you know, keep him safe. He was there. He could. I mean, the terrorists had knowledge where he was. They could have hit the school and killed all these children. So, you know, the actions, what didn't happen, what should have happened, told me that, yes, it's happening now. It's all working as it should be. And here's my theory on it. My theory, Bruce, is basically, yes, it's an inside job. They know it's an inside job. The key players will never be brought to justice. Here's the thing. If they bring this out and show that it was an inside job and that our president was part of it, the intelligence agencies were all part of this inside job to support and carry out the PNAC document, how much respect do you think Americans would have for their government? Don't you think our government might just possibly collapse if we understood that our government did this, allowed this to happen in order to get to the Middle East? If we found out that our own intelligence allowed and participated in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, do you think the American people would stand for this government to say, we're going to keep him in power? No, you would probably have a collapse of government. So the secrets, the dark secrets of our government, the skeletons of our government, what their crimes are with 9/11 will forever be hidden, and nobody will ever be brought to justice because it would collapse our government. My theory.
Well, I think you're probably right, but it's coming too close now for public disclosure. I think it's imminent that this is going to come out, along with a lot of other stuff that they've kept secret from us.
Well, you realize how many documents Bruce, you realize how many documents have been kept and sealed and can't be revealed for another 75 years on Hillary Clinton. You understand that, right?
No, I didn't know that they have a document that's sealed for her for 75 years.
They got a lot of documents sealed for 70 or 75 years. I think it's 75 years. Will never come to light, which means we'll never know about it. Maybe our children's children will know about it, but we won't know about it. So basically, she escapes prosecution for all her wrongdoing. This is what they do. They classify it. They say it's government. They classify it to hold for 75 years, and it'll be revealed maybe at some point in time. Maybe not. I mean, there's papers that are still unclassified, that are still classified for the JFK assassination that have not been revealed yet, and they won't be. Even though everybody around that era is dead, who could have possibly played a part in the assassination, is dead. But again, we're looking at a government, if it comes out and shows that our government played a part in the assassination of their own president or taking part in collaborating and working with 9/11, your government may collapse completely, and they don't want that to happen. So they're gonna hide the documents that they need to hide, and make sure we never know.
Well, thank you. I think I had what I had to say to you, so I appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate yours. I appreciate it. Got a little frog in my throat here. Not much time left, and I'm going to leave it at that. So my VA experience was a good experience. And I do want to give a crisis, Veterans Crisis Hotline number out. Any vets that are listening to this network, this show, please don't neglect your mental health. Please do not neglect your mental health. Talk to people. There are people who care. I care. The Veterans Crisis Hotline is 1-800-273-8255. Press 1. That's 1-800-273-8255. Press number 1. Please, this is sometimes we have to ask others for help. Don't let pride stand in the way of getting help with your mental health. You've been through a lot. And I understand. I really do. We'll finish it up here after this break. This is Off the Beaten Path.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
And we are back. Someone has done me wrong. Good old Pablo Cruz back in the 80s or 70s, late 70s. This article here real quick, we'll finish up here and we'll get out of here. Talk about Christmas, 3.7% unemployment numbers. Donald Trump spoke a couple days ago, not buying it. Not just coming down, the unemployment. It's tumbling down. Tumbling. I remember it at 4.1, 4.5, 4.1, 3.9, now we're 3.7. I have to agree with what Michael Rivera says. Look for what should be there and isn't. I'm looking around my neighborhood. I'm looking around my area where I live in Central Florida. We drive here and there, and we see store after store closing. We see Walmarts closing. We see Kmarts closing. The Sears is nearly on the edge of closing its doors completely. The malls are closing up, vacant. It's pretty amazing. And so we're told things are still good. 3.7% unemployment. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. You know, I saw the shelves in July starting to pick up with Christmas stuff. I've never seen it in July before. It's the first time ever. Maybe August, but July, we started seeing Christmas items, the trees and everything, all in July. So which had me believing, what is going on here? So I started thinking about Donald Trump's tariffs on China and how we really don't have much of manufacturing anymore anyway. So, and all this stuff's coming from China. So if he gets to the limit of, let's say, $500 billion in tariffs on China, maybe is it possible that our retailers here, these retailers, these stores, decided to get an early jump on maybe making some money for the Christmas holidays? Because if he actually fulfills his $500 billion tariff war, economic war on China, there will be no container ships coming into the San Francisco Harbor down there in L.A. also. We're not going to find these goods coming in, the goods, the cheap goods that we take for granted. And I think they have a little bit deeper pockets than we do in the United States. I think they can ride out a tariff war a lot longer than we can, not getting the products that we need. This could be interesting. You know, China could actually be the Grinch that stole Christmas. The excuse of why we don't have Christmas this year because the product didn't come in. It's quite possible. Keep an eye on this whole tariff war, economic war. I think it's a disaster. I really do. I don't think it's working out too well. We are acquiring more debt. More debt. More debt. We need more debt. No, we don't. We're acquiring more debt, and we can't hardly even pay the interest on the debt. We just keep charging the card up, I guess. I know you and I can't do that, but this could be an interesting Christmas season. I do believe this is going to be, this will what, make 4 or 5 bad retail Christmas years in a row? I don't know. I'm not big on Christmas anyway, the commercialized side of it. So, I don't know. Keep an eye on this trade war, how it all works out. Back with John Stadmiller tomorrow night on his show, the National Intel Report. That completes our show today. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.